Welcome to Life in Business, the podcast for business owners ready to rewrite the rules and create a business and life you truly love. I'm Libby Langley, your host, business coach, Amazon bestselling author, and expert in helping you work less, earn more, and enjoy the journey. Each week, I share straight talking strategies and honest insights to help you simplify, grow, and find more joy in your business. Here's this week's episode. Libby Langley here with another episode of Life in Business. And this is an Ask Me Anything episode. I love these ones. They're so much fun because I never quite know what questions I'm going to have had from people. And so, yeah, they challenge me a little bit. So they're always really fun. But thank you ever so much. We've got eight, which I'm hoping to get through. Eight questions and actually a few more that I've had to already put over to a next one, but I figured I could maybe get through eight today. So they range from quite sensible and easy to answer to, I feel a bit uncomfortable talking about this. So stick around and hopefully you'll learn something. So, okay, question one. Oh, I haven't got the names of who asked these on here. Oh, that's annoying. Okay, I will remember to do that next time. I've forgotten who've asked them all, so there you go. What's your morning routine? That's question number one. I pick up my phone. You know, I don't get up at 5 o'clock and sit in an ice bath. That all comes no surprise to you whatsoever. I don't do that. I pick up my phone. Well, yeah, pick up my phone, check my red dots. So it usually goes email, even though I don't have red dots on email. Turned that off a long, long time ago. But email, Facebook memories, Instagram, LinkedIn, threads, business banking, personal banking, weather, BBC News, including newspaper headlines, Wordle. There you go. That's my morning routine. And my husband will have made me a cup of tea if it's one of the days that he's here, which I normally drink when I get to the news section. And it's funny because I know everybody says that, you know, oh, it's really bad to be on your phone first thing. But actually, I do quite a lot of work then. So emails, I might reply to a few emails there, but certainly I'll see what's come in and it will help me think about what else I need to do that day rather than what was already planned in. And certainly the social stuff, well, it's replying to people who've commented on my posts. So it's interacting, it's engaging, it's possibly connecting with a few more people. So I always kind of look at it as that I start working as soon as I wake up because my brain's going. And I like to look at the news because I like to know what's going on in the world as well. So yeah, it's always very similar. And I do, generally speaking, look at the things in exactly the same order, and I can visualize the way it goes round on my phone. So it starts at the bottom and it kind of works around clockwise on the apps there. So yeah, nothing radical, but it works for me. And then I'll get up and sometimes have breakfast first, sometimes have the shower first. That's not always fixed, but I'm generally at my desk by 9:30, 10, actually probably more like 10 if I'm really honest. Something like that, unless I've got a call at 9:30, which is quite rare. So I have a pretty chilled intro to my day and it works really well for me. No one is ever going to say to me, I'll be more successful if I get up at 5 o'clock, because that won't work for me. I need a lot of sleep. I sleep for about 10 hours every night. 8 hours is a bad night for me because my brain is so busy, I think, that I get really, really incredibly tired. And I've always suffered with this. In my early 20s, I had 6 weeks off work because it was just too tired to do anything. You know, they said it was chronic fatigue, but who knows? I don't know. I think it was honestly related to my neurodiversity. But so there's my morning routine. So feel free to steal that one. okay. How have you found not drinking for a year? So I stopped drinking on the 30th of December, 2023, yes. So that's a year and a bit ago. Honestly, it's been one of the easiest things I've ever done, which is a bit disappointing because I feel there should be more life lessons from it. But yeah, I've had quite extended periods of not drinking. I didn't drink for 18 months when I was 18, 19. And through my 20s, I would say I hardly drank at all, really. My 20s weren't. They weren't a great decade. They weren't a huge amount of fun. But through my 20s, I didn't drink much. And yeah, I only really started, did like proper drinking, going out drinking, in my 3 years since when I split up with my ex and before I got together with my husband, and drank too much, you know, binge drinking, never drank at home, but would go out and drink too much. I think really as a kind of way of fitting in and a way of stopping the feelings of being kind of in that unhappy period that I was in. So yeah, but I've over the last few years it's been I would go out and have a drink, but like I said, I've never ever drunk at home. So in terms of changing a routine, it hasn't been an enormous change in my routine, and I've missed having a glass of champagne when we've been somewhere nice, but I haven't missed the alcohol of that. I've missed the fancy, you know, the feeling of something special. But the taste of alcohol, no thanks. I don't like it. If I order a dessert or something and it tastes like alcohol, it's horrible. I've always hated that. So I don't, it's not something, yeah, it's not something I really want in my life. And I don't feel my life is any worse, better, no, worse without it. And is it any better? It's not really that much different, apart from I know that I'm enjoying myself because I'm enjoying myself, not because I've got half a lager or something inside me, you know? So I recommend everybody gives it up, you know? But because my brain is, I can just decide to do something or not do something, and it's just flick of a switch and I've changed. So I think I talked about this a few episodes ago about the when I used to smoke and how it's just like, yeah, just don't do that anymore and just don't do it anymore. So I know that my brain is wired very differently. But yeah, I think it's great. I like not having alcohol in my life. So yeah, highly recommended. Highly recommended. Okay. Oh, this is quite a tough one. Do you ever want to give it all up? The honest answer to that is yeah. And I would say most Monday mornings, this is too hard. Wouldn't it be nice to just not have to be in charge of everything? Most Mondays are quite tough for me, and I don't know why. I don't know if it's because I like the weekends, our pace at the weekends, being with my husband at the weekends, and then come Monday, it's just like, right. I love my clients, and I absolutely adore what I do. You know, I'm very, very, very vocal about how much I love it. But I think the bits that I don't love about having a business is like just being responsible for everything is a lot of pressure. I'm in my 14th year now. And so, yeah, kind of used to that pressure, but I do find it really hard. And one of the reasons that I don't have calls on a Monday is because I kind of need that transition space in my mind to, okay, this is my focus for the next 5 days. And kind of just getting back to the headspace that I need to be in to keep pushing forward. And none of this is about not loving it. None of this is about not being passionate about it. None of this is about not having drive, right? I have all of those things, but still, it's a lot, right? It's a lot, but oh my God, not in a million years would I give it up and get a job. No, absolutely not. And I was thinking about this this question because, you know, got the list of questions here, and I was thinking about this question, and I think one of the reasons I don't have calls on a Monday for the headspace, but also one of the reasons that I record this podcast on a Monday, generally speaking, is because it really gives me a pick me up. It's a really good way of just reminding myself why I do this and what I love about it. And if Mondays are challenging, if I wake up just, I don't know, like having the mother of all wobbles or whatever's going on, then recording a podcast episode kind of resets stuff for me. And I think it's because it helps me, because it reminds me of, I don't know, the good stuff I can share, right? And I also know that you're there listening. And so that gives me a boost too, right? So interesting, but do I ever want to give it all up? Yeah, I mean, I do. I never want to give up my clients particularly, but running a business sometimes is kind of draining. Yeah. There you go. But would I give it up? I mean, if I won the lottery, for sure, I think probably. Sorry to all my existing clients listening. I'm sure we could work out an exit package. But yeah, man, I mean, if I won, like, 36 million on the lottery, of course I'd give it all up. And I it's interesting that, because I think people who say they wouldn't, maybe that's not true. I don't know. I love it. I love it, but I love it as an, it generates me an income and it gives me the lifestyle I like. But if I won all that money, I don't know. I mean, let's see. I'll buy a ticket and I'll tell you if I win, right? We'll see what happens. But yeah, it's what I really want to think about that, I think. Okay. Number four, what's the best business book you've ever read? Oh, yeah. It's all I read, right? Business books are all I read. I read them all the time. I don't know how many I've read over the last decade or so, but hundreds. I've no idea. Loads. But the one that I have quoted the most to people and recommended the most to people and has perhaps been the most pivotal is Delivering Happiness by Tony Hsieh, H-S-I-E-H, Tony Hsieh. And Delivering Happiness, I read that well over a decade ago, and it changed the way I thought about customer service. And Tony Hsieh set up Zappos, which was an American mail order company. And what he did differently was he didn't have targets on phone calls. So people could be on the phone for ages. They could get to know their clients. They could sometimes send stuff out with no postage charged, could sometimes send little extra gifts. And one time they even ordered a pizza for a customer while they were on the phone. You know, it was really kind of, it was a really different way of running a business. And it really, something really struck me about that. And it was when I had my team. And so we used to, we kind of used to try and be kind and nice to people. It's not about like over-delivering, but about just, yeah, do you know, that'd be fun. That'd be cool. And doing stuff like that. And actually I went to, with a guy who worked with me, we went to Social Media Marketing World in San Diego, which I have done lots and lots of times. And then we went to Zappos in Vegas and did a customer service course with them because, to be there and to be in the environment and to see how it really works was just such an eye-opener. So I think that's probably the most influential book I've ever read. I mean, there's loads of others. Work Like a Woman by Mary Portas is fantastic. And I got to meet her in 2024, which was pretty cool. The Power of Fun by Catherine Price. The Happiness Equation by Neil, what's his name? Pasricha, I think. Let It Be Easy, Susie Moore. There's loads. There's absolutely loads of books that have been really good and been really kind of important to me. But yeah, Delivering Happiness, definitely. Everybody should read it. And it's a nice little book as well. So, okay. What's your greatest fear? Oh, okay. My greatest fear in the whole world of fears. Oh my God. Is my husband dying? That's my absolute greatest fear ever. Yeah, I fear it a lot because he drives a lot. He works away at the moment and he has a really long drive really early in the morning on a Monday and then back late at night on a Thursday. And yeah, it is my absolute greatest fear. I honestly don't know what I would do if anything happened to him. So that's my real life big fear, which it lives in the pit of my stomach all the time, I think. I think part of it is, we were later in life when we got together and it kind of went into it with our eyes wide open. You know, like when you have relationships when you're younger and then you kind of discover yourself a bit and they discover themselves a bit and you may or may not continue to be compatible and or you're together because you've been together so long or you've got kids or whatever. When you get together later in life, certainly my or our experience, is that it's, yeah, you made more of a conscious choice maybe to be together rather than you sort of just have become together, if that makes sense. And so it's just, our relationship is the single most important thing in my life, for sure. Absolutely. Without a shadow of a doubt. We are each other's person, you know, hashtag couple goals. And yeah, we do everything together as much as we can. And we enjoy being together. We're the people that we want to be with. We want to be with the other person. And so the thought of not having that anymore is just absolutely, completely and utterly horrendous to me. So yeah, so that's my biggest, greatest fear. But my greatest fear in terms of my business then is just that it fails. And I say it fails, not I fail, right? Because I will go down with the ship, you know. I'll be there playing violin on the decks as it sinks. But yeah, I think my greatest fear for my business is that I just can't get the clients, you know. I don't get any more clients, and so that's, you know, the decision is almost made there. And that makes me really sad to even think about that. You know, it's not reality, so, you know, but it makes me sad because there is something about being in business that there is a vulnerability about being in business that is both exciting and terrifying, because none of us really know what's going to happen next month, in the next 3 months, the next year. We're in control of that to a certain extent, but also we're not, right? Because if nobody decides that we are the one for them that they want to work with, then business dries up. And that's the same for business across the world, any kind of business, right? Across the world. But when it's your business, you know, you're responsible for bringing those clients in, for servicing those clients. And so that it kind of can feel a bit more personal. Whereas, you know, any business, you work for a business, right? Any business that you work for, and the same thing happens to them, well, it's not your responsibility, right? And you might lose your job, but then you can get another job, and it's also then still not your responsibility. Do you know what I mean? So, but when you are a solopreneur or a solo business owner, there's a lot more pressure on things. And so I do fear that. And it's not necessarily rational, because obviously I've been in business for 13 years and, you know, still the clients keep coming. And I love it, you know, I love it. And I'm so grateful and I'm so joyful for every client who chooses to work with me. Maybe that's going to be you this year. Who knows? That would be exciting, eh? But yeah, I worry that it's all going to go away. I mean, maybe I just need some more therapy. Maybe this is part of it. Yeah, maybe that's another question. Do you think you need therapy? Well, yes, probably. Okay. What made you seek your neurodiversity diagnosis? Well, I recognised some of the things that other people were saying in a group that I'm in. Somebody got diagnosed and there were lots of people saying, oh, I feel similar. And then I started looking at all the memes out there. This was about ADHD to start with. I'm like, yep, that all resonates. And so I self-diagnosed with ADHD and thought, you know what, I'm cool with that. That helps me understand myself a bit more. And we went to a talk, my husband and I, because obviously my husband came, right? Because we're a team. My husband and I went to a talk about ADHD maybe about 18 months after that. And the person sitting next to me said, oh, have you been diagnosed as autistic too? And I'm like, no, how rude. And she said, oh, I just have, my husband just has, and I think you are too because of this, this, and this. And I'm like, wow, okay, this is a stranger. I literally sat next to this woman. But of course, she sowed the seeds there, and I started doing some research into it and thought, oh God, yes. Yes, it's not just ADHD, is it? Actually, the autism is a big thing. And I didn't want to go through the NHS waiting list process. I need to know stuff straight away. And so I paid for a diagnosis appreciate that comes from a position of privilege, but we took the decision to pay for a private diagnosis, and sure enough, yes, scored very, very highly. And it's made a difference to me because I know, and knowing is really important for me. So I'm able to understand myself even more. I structure my business better for me. And I think this is the whole morning routine thing as well, because I can't just switch states very easily necessarily, unless it's a crisis, in which case, oh my God, I come into my own. But I can't switch state. I have to kind of think through the thought process of changing state. So from being asleep to working, to at my desk working, there's quite a lot of stages to that for me. And I have to do it in the way that feels comfortable for me, right? So, yeah, I'm glad that I did it. I'm glad I got the diagnosis. So it's 2 years this year and I'm kind of used to it now. But yeah, sometimes it throws a right old curveball. But for the most of the time, things have got easier and things have got better since I've known. Yeah, and that's a lot to do with the way I structure my life and structure my business. Okay, what's the most money you've ever made in a day? Oh, do you know, I don't know that. I think I would have to look at all my accounting over all the years. I know the years I've made the most money, well, and the least money. I made the most and least money in the same year, actually. And it was around maybe 2014, 2015. So it was quite early in business. And it was my first six-figure year. So I did 120 grand or something that year. Can't remember. Something like that. But I made the least profit I've ever, ever made in a year. And that includes, like, you know, part sabbatical years where I did about 15 grand in a year because I took an awful lot of time off, right? Yeah, I made less profit than that, really. So it's interesting how much money have you made? And it's like, okay, which metric are we looking at here? Because on paper, to have a six-figure business, you know, back then, it was obviously a lot more than it is now, relatively speaking. But to have that quite early on in my business journey, to have the team, to have, you know, to be on all these stages, to be the go-to, to be all these things, right? But to make naff all profit because it was really expensive running that business. Staff is expensive, right? The actual picture is not necessarily as good as the one on paper. So I don't know. I don't actually talk about how much I earn or don't earn. I talk about percentages because I don't think, you know, if I said to you, oh, I earned 20 grand last year, or I earned 200,000, or I earned 2 million. It's like, so it doesn't mean anything, right? It's absolutely irrelevant to you and to me, because it's about the profit and it's about my life, and your life is different. So your level of required expenditure might be considerably higher or lower than mine. And therefore it's all relative, but profit percentages is very different. So, you know, I run on about a 75% profit margin, and that kind of thing can be helpful for you if you also run a solo business from home delivering coaching, right? It's a benchmark, but you run your business how you want to run your business. So yeah, money's kind of it's not the most important metric for sure. So okay, last question. Ooh, I just got time. What were your worst and best years in business and why? Funny, I had a call with a long-standing friend the other day, and he said to me, oh, things have moved on since those days we were in that mastermind together. And I was just like, oh my God, I'd forgotten about that. I think it was 2014, I think, because I know that I had not long split with my ex and things were tough financially because I bought him out, which cost me a fortune. And I obviously was trying to run the house and the business and stuff on my own, right? Without that support and without that financial input, you know, teamwork at home. And I remember being in this mastermind meeting and people saying, right, so how are you going to grow this year? What are you going to do? You can set up this membership, you can do this, you can do this. And honestly, and I burst into tears. I was trying, you know, I just said, all I want to do is keep a roof over my head. That's all I want to do at the minute. I just want everything is so stressful and everything is a lot. And I remember leaving the leaving the meeting and kind of crying in the toilet. So my friend that I was talking to, he said that he followed me out, but then because I was in the ladies, he couldn't come in and comfort me. It's funny what you remember, isn't it? But that's a long, long time ago. That's like 12 years ago, maybe. 11, 12 years ago. And it's amazing how things move on. But certainly there have been some tough times. And 2015, when I made all my staff redundant, was really difficult, but also liberating. One of the best decisions I've made, but it obviously was a hard thing to go through. So that I think there've been a lot of tough times. But the best years in business, I think the last couple have been probably, well, the first couple and the last couple have been my favourites. So the first couple were so exciting, so much fun. Oh my God, I could do all these things. And oh my God, look, all these people giving me money to doing stuff that I enjoy. Great fun, right? And then the last couple have been really good because that's about me really being me and really doing what I love. And starting Confidence to Grow, my coaching space, has been the single best thing I've ever done in my business. It's the single, I'm the most proud of it. I know it gets the best results for people. They know it gets the best results for people. The biggest transformations. And it's so soft and warm and kind and gentle. And I absolutely love the energy of that. And yeah, so I think working up to that and then launching it in 2024, that's it just feels the best. I feel like I'm in the best place now that I've ever been personally and professionally. And that's pretty cool, right? Taking a bloody long time to get here, mind, so it's about time. But yeah. So there you go. Ask me anything, and you did. Whew. Wow, they were tough, some of those. But anything, any questions that you have that you think, do you know what? I'd really like to know that. Please email me or send me them on social media, DM me on Instagram, and I will answer them in a future episode of Ask Me Anything. Because these are really good, because I think I share stuff that can be helpful for you that I wouldn't perhaps normally share. So I'm happy to share and even overshare. You know, if that helps you, then I'm all for it. So there you go. Thank you for listening today. I really appreciate it. Sending you lots of love, and I'll see you next week. Thank you for listening to Life in Business. Please make sure that you subscribe or follow so you don't miss any future episodes. And if you enjoyed today's show, please leave a review, as it helps others to find the podcast and spread the word that there's an easier way to do business. If you want to chat with me about today's episode or suggest a topic for the future, I would love to hear from you. You can find me on Instagram @LibbyLangley. See you next week.